Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced or used in any form without permission.
Peter McKay.
Well, in LMP3, of course, it was a real hiccup, a real scare for the 36 Andretti Autosport crew, with Josh Burton, of course, grinding to a halt during that last yellow flag period. But he is right back into the front now. But he is being chased down by the 33 Duquesne of Lance Wilsey in P3.
Already, Raffaele Marchiello is leaving in his hire car. Looks like he's got a challenger and he's away in the bright red car. Let's try and be positive and think about Kyle Army, he says. See you next year, Daytona. I'm leaving. I've got a suspicion that might have been a burnout in the bright red hire car as well. Yeah, just from the angle of the video, I haven't even had to play it. It was indeed a burnout, says the responsible adult, slightly looking over the top of her, looking over the top of her glasses in the direction of Raffaele Marchiello. New fastest lap of the race, so a new lap record for Renger van der Zander. Took 4/10 of the fastest lap that was set earlier on, but it's now down to 1:34.042. Is this happy hour right now, Peter? The track temperature has dropped. It's been in the 20 Celsius for quite a long time. Now it's dropped to 17, air temperature 7. Just enough still to get some heat into the Michelins and get some grip out there. And of course, no traffic in front of him for a lap or two.
No, when Renger van der Zander gets his head in the game, he is just so fast. He's been set the fastest lap of the race over a number of years in recent time at the Rolex 24. At the moment, the number 79 GTD Pro WeatherTech Porsche is sitting in the pit lane in the penalty box at the moment. 60 seconds stop and hold. That is such a great penalty. However, cup 2 years ago, Wayne Taylor Racing number 10 Cadillac, they got a 60 second stop and hold for exactly the same the same infraction, blowing through the red light at the end of the pit lane. That happened with 4 hours to go in the race and they still won it. So there is you're still in the game, and especially if we're going to have as many yellow flag periods as we've had already.
Earlier on, we were talking about the last GTP win and the Eagle Toyota and the return of GTP. Jeremy Shaw has just handed me a piece of paper that the fastest lap in 1992 was Masahiro Hasemi in the Nissan R91CP GTP car. That was at 1:38.495. We've just done a 34 flat. That's 4.5 seconds faster than that lap record. And in 93, it was PJ Jones with a 1:39.363. And we're not that far away from the 19 raw qualifying record of Oliver Jarvis in the Mazda RT24 PTPI, 1:33.398. So we're 7/10 away from that. That is extraordinary from these cars, and I still get people telling me I won't watch this because there's no P1s in it. Yeah, right, sorry, you're just wrong. there's no two ways about it. Pit stop for the racing team
of that car, very slightly, but Ollie making no notice of that, just went out. There is a crack in the bodywork just above the wheel. That is the most fragile part of these DPIs, the thinnest that the composite material that the cars are made out of, because it's not entirely a carbon fiber, it's a carbon composite. That's where it is weakest. So if something is going to break on the rear, that's exactly where it would go. And that was the side where they had the puncture, was it not?
So Michael Dynan's just got out of the number 96, that's the Turner Motorsport BMW, the Liquid Moly livery car. Michael, it's been a bit of a character building weekend for all of the BMWs in this field. How's the Liquid Moly car doing?
Yeah, we're doing well, you know, it's just a battle of attrition right now, and we might not have the straight line speed, but we're just trying to stay out of trouble and, you know, stay on the lead lap and do what we can do, so.
So far, so good on that one?
Yeah, so far so good. The whole team's doing an amazing job. Bill's in the car now, so, you know, I think hopefully he can make up a few positions and we'll see where we end up.
Have you guys encountered any issues with the rear under tray? We've seen other BMWs lose their rear under tray, but I'm not sure whether your car's done the same.
Yeah, so far so good. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope that it holds together for the rest of the race.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Driver change at the wheel of the number 9 Pfaff Porsche in GTD Pro, Felipe Nasr hopping out, and I would suspect that will be Matt Campbell getting in. We haven't seen him yet in the race after a super stint from Mathieu Jaminet at the start of the race. We should see Matt Campbell, the young Australian, getting on board, the young but incredibly experienced Australian, getting on board that number 9 plaid Pfaff Porsche.
Yeah, he's very well thought of by Matt Campbell, that is. Matty Campbell, very well thought of by Porsche, came up through Carrera Cup down there and has repaid the confidence in him. He is a really, really impressive young driver. Hello to Peter Fiddling back in the UK. Good to know that his passion for sports car racing is intact at imsaradio.com. DPI's at the front of the field. LMP2 base chassis, spines as they call them. You can change one or two things on that. You don't have to have the standard Gibson engine. You can change the aero on the cars, but they have to have some design aspects from the manufacturer you are representing. Also changing dampers as well, and suspension, because it's spec in LMP2. LMP2 is the LMP2 chassis, obviously from one of four manufacturers with the spec Gibson engine, with a single aero package homologated and with spec brakes and dampers. LMP3 is slightly more manufacturers. I think it's still six manufacturers for LMP3. Now here we've got Ligier and Duquesne, Nee Norma represented, and again that's a spec drivetrain on that car. And GTD and GTD Pro, the cars are the same, the BOPs are the same, it's the driving lineups that make the difference. GTD Pro, as the name suggests, is pro lineups, manufacturer entered cars for the most part. It's the idea behind it, and in that the standard GTD, then you have to have a different split of drivers that can't include the full complement of pro drivers. That's how it runs in terms of the specifications. But the cars in GTD Pro and GTD, absolutely the same, running the same BOP as well. It's like Jimmy Johnson is getting ready on the pit wall, multiple NASCAR Cup winner, champion winner, championship.
Yeah, the number 48, yeah, about to be handed over to Jimmy Johnson, seven times a champion in NASCAR and two times a winner of the Daytona 500. Now, what a cool double that could be, winning the two great, the big race here at Daytona to win the 500 and the Rolex 24. What a combination that would be.
Been good round here in the Coca-Cola 400 as well. Shea Adam, how many times has he won the Coca-Cola 400, Jimmy?
That would be four.
Four times.
But he came away with the Coke 600 win, which is the big race
Yes.
It's the July 4th weekend.
I tried to shorten it by 200 miles there.
just a measly 200 miles. That's fine. A lot of people getting ready for pit stops down here on the GT end of pit lane as well, as Jimmy Johnson getting into that Ally Racing Cadillac. We've got the Lexus, the 14, with Jack Foxworth up on the wall. Roman DeAngelis just brought in the 27 part of racing Aston Martin. And the reason that this pit stop is relevant, it is the first one that I have seen where they have done the data stick swap. Now, this is something that IMSA mandates, as the 71 Lamborghini is going behind the wall, by the way. That's the T3 Motorsport North America. So Datastix, what they have to do is they have to switch them out between the hour, the 4th and the 6th hour of the race, the 10th and the 12th hour, the 16th and the 18th, and then when the car goes through tech, basically have some monitoring in real time that the teams aren't doing anything strange to their cars. So if you do not turn in your Datastix within 15 minutes of pulling it out of the car, well, that's going to be another drive-through penalty. So just something else for the people who don't normally compete in IMSA to keep an eye on. It's even further in the rulebook.
A lot of attention going on to the number 63 GTD Pro Lamborghini Huracan at the moment. The rear right of that car, the mechanics looking very closely around the brake rotor. It's certainly very early. I mean, I'm sure it won't be a brake change, especially not the rear. But yeah, the mechanics clambering around that car at the moment as it sits in pit lane. And this is a long stop for that 63 car.
Also in the 44, Magnus Aston Martin. And that looks a little more, yeah, regular. But you're right, Peter. They're not happy with something on the right rear. I think it was the wheel hub, because once they got it sorted, they just banged the wheel back on, and that bright green number 63 is running. Pit stop time down at Corvette GTD cars. Who's down at that end of the pits? That'll be Shea.
That's still me. Fuel and tires and driver changes for both of the Corvettes. I could see Jordan Taylor getting out. I could not see who was getting in, but I believe it was Nicky Katzberg's turn to go. For the Corvette, the Ford Corvette, it was fuel and tires and possibly a driver change. They came in at the number 1 and 2 on the driver's side door of the 4 and the 3, respectively. They leave in that same order with the 24 BMW right behind them. Also into the pit lane is the 14 Lexus for Vassar Sullivan. That's who I'm standing by right now. This too was a driver change. Jack Hawksworth got in. Kyle Kirkwood got out.
Joe Bradley.
The 99 team hard points. Porsche just been brought in. Stefan, I wanted to grab, we spoke to you earlier, Stefan Wilson, we spoke to you earlier, but I wanted to find out just what that was like, you finally being out in the race.
Wow, yeah, that was just an absolute blast, you know. It was super stressful. You're trying to look after the car. You're trying to keep it clean. 20 hours to go. We know we've got a quick car. This team is doing such a good job, and I just put a lot of pressure on myself. I just wanted to execute, do everything right, and hand off the car in a good spot, and just had a blast. It's really fun racing out here at Daytona. And, yeah, definitely a bit relieved now. So I've got a stint under my belt. I'll get ready now for another stint around midnight, and we'll go again.
How tricky are the restarts, Stefan, after those long caution periods?
They're really tricky, you know. I radioed into the team, you know. The first restart, I got on it, went after it. Really had to dodge a lot of carnage. And you're just asking yourself, there's 20 hours to go, we've got a fast car, how much do we risk it? You know, it's risk versus reward. So the second restart wasn't so good. I lost a couple of positions just because I was like trying to look after my car. And then after that, I picked them off and regained those positions. So I'm really happy with that performance. Team has done such a good job with this car. We've just came on leaps and bounds ever since the war. And yeah, I can't thank the engineers here enough.
Great stuff. Get your coat on before you catch a cold, man.
He's from Yorkshire. He should be in his shorts and T-shirt. Although it doesn't sound that right now. Hello to Carol Brink over in Monterey, tweeting at IMSA Radio. Hello to Steve. Gotta love Ben Keating. He is living my dream. Not that you would expect him to, but you can hear. Not that you would expect him not to, but you can hear the love and passion that he has for what he does. Totally agree with you, Steve. Hello to Kirsty Collin. Going to get cold tonight. Interesting to see how the cars and tyres cope with it. Anyone think of anywhere it gets as cold as this? Nürburgring, depending on which time of the year. We've had snow and hail there. Somebody going low and slow on the banking a bit earlier than they really need to get into the pit lane. Let's see if we can pick up what car that was. It did have lights on. Here it comes into the pit lane now. But had committed to the bottom of the speedway very, very early. I think this is the Magnus Aston back in again from the lights on the roof of the car. Yep, it is. That car's just gone out of the pit lane. Oh. So it's It's Andy Lally, and he clearly doesn't like what he's feeling. That's Joe's end of the pits. He'll have a wander down to that.
This is Andy Lally's 20th Rolex 24-hour start as well. So trying to... this is not good. Of course, a new car for the Magnus outfit. They ran an Acura NSX last year, a Lamborghini. They came second with a Lamborghini Huracan 2 years ago, but a relatively short stop. So whatever the issue is, Andy's happy enough and the Magnus team happy enough to get back going. And they've got a Scotsman in their team this year, none other than Johnny Adam of Kirkcaldy.
Yeah, Aston Works driver Joe Bradley is down at that end of things for us in the pit lane for IMSA Radio. Joe?
Hard to fathom. Andy Lally brought the car in. Driver's door open, two crew members engage in conversation, and then the door was shut. So whatever the issue was, it was a very quick fix. I'll try and get an answer from the team, and I've just missed leaning over the wall and finding that out. Let's see if I can get a word. He can't hear me either. I'll fight. What was the problem there?
Bad steering wheel.
Wheel wasn't quite on.
We changed wheels and sent it back out.
Right, okay, steering wheel. A bad steering wheel, I'm not sure what that means. Probably not working correctly.
Yeah, correct. They're full of electronics nowadays, of course. They don't just turn the steering column. All kinds of buttons and adjustments on there for traction control, ABS, engine maps, and the paddle shift as well, of course, on all the GT cars. In fact, on all the cars out here, there's not a gear lever in sight anymore. So out and back in again for that. Do I have to get my marker of doom out for the 59, says Ivan Chambers. No news since it pulled over. It hasn't come back out on the track. I can't see the area of the track where it pulled in. When it came down, it's one of the few places we can't actually see. It was on the far side of Lake Lloyd. There is a cut through and an infield road there. They might have been able to pull that back, but of course we can't see from here if they have done. If it can be fixed, it will be allowed to go out. External assistance here does not disqualify the car. Into the pit lane for the bright yellow jumbo sponsored racing team Netherlands number 29, and Shea Adam is watching that pit stop.
All going very smoothly. They did the right side tires first, now they're doing the left side tires, a windshield tear off, and it was a driver change. Am I correct in thinking it was Rinus VK who got out of that car? The fueling is the last thing to finish from this pit stop. I love the fact that they have a guy who stands in front of the car with a board that says, ready, and then as soon as he lifts it, that's the clue to drop the clutch, give it all the right foot you can muster, and get out of the pits.
New cast of characters at the front of the GTD Pro field. James Calado, after a superb stint for the world champion, handing over to Davide Rigon in the number 62 Risi Competizione Ferraria. So Giuseppe Risi being taken to dinner on his golf buggy the other day. It was yesterday. It's all blurs into
it
one.
It just
in
feels
a
like
reach.
A long time away, doesn't it?
It does. But Dennis Olsen, the Norwegian driver, had a great chat with him yesterday, young Dennis. Really, really nice young man and a real Porsche star. He's in the KCMG number 2 car in second. Maro Engel stayed on board the number 97 WeatherTech Racing Mercedes. And Matt Campbell, correct, has got into the Pfaff Motorsport machine. Now, the driver changes for Corvette. Marco Sorensen in a Corvette. We're going to have to keep saying that to ourselves to get that out into the groove, of course, formerly of Aston Martin. So Marco Sorensen in the number 4 Corvette, the number 3 Corvette, Nicky Katzberg, my man in the meeting from Le Mans last year in that number 3 machine.
Thanks to David Raleigh, who is over on that side of the track on one of the bleachers there, and has sent us a picture of the critical McLaren being towed back to the pit lane. So they could be working on that, presumably the garage area actually, but thank you, David, for that lovely sky colour when you took that picture earlier on. So that car has come back just a few moments ago, or a little while ago. 19 hours and 17 minutes still to go. Renger van der Zander for Cadillac by Crucial McLaren. What did I say? Critical, yes, sorry. Crucial McLaren, and they're in a critical situation to be pulled back. Thank you. Reinger van der Zander leads for Cadillac Racing in the DPI by 6.4 seconds from Whelan Engineering's Tristan Nunes in the 31. Then it's Marcus Ericsson, now 14 seconds further back and coming under pressure from Mike Rockenfeller in the Ally Cadillac. Round about another 10 laps or 15 minutes or so before we see those cars back into the pit lane. Reinger has a three-lap cushion on the cars behind him. He's got three laps more to do, if that makes any sense. The first of the stoppers in the battle at the front of the field will be Richard Westbrook, who came in a lap before everybody else. And he's the last man on the lead lap at the moment. Oliver Jarvis is just off the lead lap. Well, let me wait till he comes through. Yes, he's just off the lead lap in the MSR with Kerb Agajanian, number 60, Acura. That's the pink and white car. Will Stevens, after that spin and flat spotting the tyres, causing a puncture, which happened. He spun it at turn one. Pretty certain there was another car involved there, but I've not seen that again. I think we only had the aftermath from the helicopter shot, and I only swiveled round to see it because I caught the dust that was out there and couldn't get the binos on it quickly enough to see which car it was. And there's not been an investigation announced either to give us a clue, but that's cost them dearly, two laps there from being at the sharp end of the field. Good news if you are a fan of the number 71, because that car, after an extended period behind the pit wall for the T3 Motorsport North America Lamborghini GT3 team, Matteo Llerena is back out 16th position in GTD. A couple of people asking about the BMWs. BMW M Team RLL, Sheldon von der Linde is running at the moment in 11th in 51st position, and Jesse Kron is in 9th in class in 42nd position after their wars earlier on. 47 Motorsport have been creative with the yellows and with the yellow marker lights on their car, heading up onto the banking at the moment, whilst the AF Corsa prefer the light green. There's a few different ways of going about this. Peter Mackay.
Yeah, for fans of the Lexus crew, the number 14 Lexus RCF, Jack Hawksworth at the wheel right now, driving alongside Ben Barnacote, a new signing to that crew. Despite the little tangle with the number 59 Crucial Motorsport McLaren and the subsequent drive-through penalty, they have hung on to the lead lap in GTD Pro, and that car's got some real pace as well. So as things start to shake out, I would expect that car to come right back. Oh, and just as I say that, oh Jack, you're making me look clever here. He's just done the fastest lap of that of the race for that car, a 145.1. Thank you for that, Jack.
Chip Ganassi 0-2 in the pit lane. That's Joe's end of things. This looks looks a fairly standard stop. They did have a quick look at the brakes there on that 0-2 car. Spin of the wheels and it's already rolling. 36 seconds that car was stationary and heads out onto the pit lane. Hello to Tom Firth, who's tweeted at IMSA Radio. Is it heartbroken for Heart of Racing's GTD Pro retirement, but otherwise enjoying a great Daytona 24 so far? Question, maybe for the small hours. Nah, we'll get it in now, because otherwise I'll never find it scrolling back through the Twitter. Does the Ford GT3 announcement earlier this week signal there's no diversions from stock GT3 in the ACO IMSA classes? Well, I don't think anybody's talked about it seriously as such. There was some discussion about it when GTD Pro was announced, but that's been decided that's not going to happen. I don't suggest that Ford would make any difference to that. They have said it would be a GTD Pro and a GTD standard program in 2024, but that's several years away. And as to what the ACO are going to do, no clue. But You've heard me say it before, GT3s have no place at Le Mans. It will kill the class, and the manufacturers all very nice and gentlemanly now. Oh yes, we'll play by the rules, but when you've got the prestige of winning at Le Mans, they will build special cars for Le Mans, and it will send the costs skyrocketing, and it will cause an issue.
Well, also, the architect or the founder of the GT3 category, if you like, Stefan Rattel, he said exactly the same as you, John. That's his exact view on it. I think it's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
It is seldom that Stefan Rattel and I see eye to eye on anything. We've had some full and frank discussions about stuff. I had a chat with him on Le Mans morning, actually, from my motorcycle. He was on the end of a phone, and I was talking to him whilst I was getting a little bit of wind therapy before going on duty. I was out on the mighty 1600 GT, and we were having a bit of a laugh about that between us. But the other thing is, I'm not sure the manufacturers really want it either. Certainly, I know a couple of manufacturers who don't. It possibly will happen. It is not current GT3. I think that's what we've got to say. The regulations are not current GT3, which is a full BOP category. There is an element, more than a small element, of a technical regulation, set of regulations, where you can look at a car and say it's legal, it's not legal. But already they're talking about waivers for it. And waivers, if you're going to have waivers, you've got to know what they are. You can't have three and four different sets of regulations that come out and the teams get one, the series get another, the press get another, and the public get another. That just doesn't work. There's no transparency. There really is not. Let's pick up a bit of news from some of the cars that were involved in that big incident at Turn 6. Sun Energy 1 AMG GT3 was one of the cars there, and that got... The Heart of Racing got a clobber on the right rear, and the Sun Energy car was in the wall as well. Joe Bradley has been doing some detective work.
Yeah, just saw some of the crew turn back up at the pit box, and I asked, is the car coming back? And unfortunately, a slash across the throat indication. I asked, is the driver all right? And it was like, yeah, driver's fine. But that Mercedes took a big hit, didn't it? That car's not coming back out.
Okay, so Heart of Racing and the Aston Martin and the AMG. Right, down to Andrew, who has got the 48 Ally Cadillac right alongside him. And Jimmy Johnson's getting in there, Andrew.
Yes, he is, John, and I'm just trying to sprint up there because I've just come on the pit lane. I've just seen the team working on the car, and hopefully I can grab a couple of interviews in just a minute or two. But literally, I'm just on the lane now, John.
Thank you, Andrew. Jimmy Johnson plugs in his air hose and the communications umbilical. He is out adjusting the steering wheel, getting himself sorted, tightening the belts down before he gets out of the pit lane. Very efficient pit stop, as you would expect from that team. And the Ally number 48 rolls out. Lara Plattman, photographer and journalist extraordinaire, says, would you mind awfully asking the drivers not to cause carnage while I go to sleep? Need a summary at 9 a.m. UK time. So that's 9 8 7 6 5 4. Who'll be on then? That'll be Johnny and Bruce, who'll be on at the moment. It'll be Johnny and Bruce who'll be on at that time. Lara, so send them a text when you get back up and you've had your first cup of coffee. 0-1 in the pit lane, and Andrew is just about there for that one. That looks like full service and a driver change as well, Andrew.
Yeah, that's right, John. I just came into another pit. I'm just climbing back over the wall as the car accelerates away. So all the action down here, and just at the wrong time, I was facing the wrong direction.
Well, the 0-1 Cadillac on way as well, and Jimmy Johnson out onto the track now in the number 48. Now, this is not a new thing for Jimmy. Of course, we know of his exploits in NASCAR, but it's not a new thing to race here at the Rolex 24. Took part in this race for the first time back in 2004. So he has a lot of experience here as well. He's come second twice in 05 and 08, but... well, what can he do here? He's certainly got some incredible teammates. Kamui Kobayashi, Mike Rockenfeller as well in that machine, and, of course, Jose Maria Lopez. Speaking of the Kamui Kobayashi and Jose Maria Lopez, their teammate in the number 7 car, Mike Conway, he's now in the number 31 Whelen Cadillac as well, and up to second place.
Cher Adam has just tweeted to us a picture of the full season Porsche, the 79 car. It's still being worked on by the WeatherTech team, so maybe they're going to try and get that car out. That is the point scoring car for the full season. Meantime, let's go down to 47 Motorsport as the 48 car completes its first lap with Jimmy Johnson at the wheel in the 2022 Rolex 24 Hours.
So the number 7 47 Motorsport car, currently 8th place. Austin McCusker is the driver that's just got out. Who's took over from you, Austin?
Mark Kwame just took over right now, so we'll see how he does. Hopefully he brings us some...
It's looking pretty hectic out there with the cautions and the restarts. You've obviously managed to keep out of trouble.
I wish, but we had a little bit of contact on pit lane, and then we've had a throttle pressure sensor failure. We were trying to get it fixed in the pit box, but we had to bring it back to the garage under a yellow. At least it was under a yellow, and we didn't lose that much time, or as much time as we would have. So we'll see if we could put our head down and gain some laps back.
The LMP3 class is a very tricky class to be driving in. You're not the fastest prototypes, and the GT cars are all around, and you kind of get a just slightly quicker lap time. How tricky is the traffic to manage?
I mean, we're fairly, it depends on where you are in your stint with tire wear, you know. I mean, if you're early on your stint, the GTDs are a fair bit ways past. It's easy to get by them. We have a little bit of a straight line advantage. They have a little bit of a braking advantage with ABS. So, we're just got our spotter up in the stands, helping us out, guiding us the whole way through. So, just trying to stay clean.
Austin, you seem a little bit down, but the guys around you, your crew, are patting you on the back. You've done a great job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just down because we had a good car, and you know, we had a TPMS failure or a throttle position sensor failure. So it's a little bit
long way to go, man.
Tristan Nunez down here. You're looking remarkably fresh after that little session.
Yeah, it's nice and cold in that Cadillac cockpit. The cool weather is rough on tire warmer, but pretty good on the driver cooling side. But overall, yeah, great stint. Even after a quad, I feel pretty fresh and ready to go again.
Yeah, because this race is just sort of finding a rhythm now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about rhythm, and it's so hard to keep that rhythm with all this traffic. So it's really just about keeping your head smart and making smart decisions. You know, not dive bombing these slower GT cars and putting yourself out of the race, because there's a lot of opportunities to do that.
Yeah, the 31 Cadillac here from the Whelen team. You haven't had tire problems like the two Acuras.
Yeah, I think that's just about staying smart on your stints. You know, not clobbering the curbs on the outlaps and really just trying to stay out of the debris. There's been a lot of debris from these accidents, but yeah, keeping our nose clean just through and through is the way to go.
Is that something you really think about, keeping off those curves?
Yeah, it's very easy when you're in the car to get too antsy. You know, you see a big group of traffic and you try to be too aggressive and you put yourself in a bad situation. But you know, the team's been in my ear that whole quadruple stint, just saying keep your nose clean, smart decisions. And when we got cleared for lap, just, you know, go for the lap time. And that definitely helped me get through that quad.
Congratulations. Good stint.
Thank you.